We, again, that was what that plaque on the wall was like when I first saw it. And I've been thinking about how we might fulfill the promise that is in each of us during our lifespan, the time between being born and the time you die. There's a lot of space in between, hours in between, minutes in between. We could do a lot of things. And so my goal today is to sort of challenge you to think about that. And this one's going to be a little different because I'm actually going to put on the wall the words that I'm going to be talking about. If I can find my, oh, here you go. Let me get this. So I'm going to walk around and talk about this. That's the first one that didn't go. This, I think, is just a wonderful, I got a lot of sayings, and I'm going to show some of them this morning. What lies behind us and what lies before us is tiny in comparison to what is within us. The goodness, the love, the giving, the service, all the kind of things that we could do, our talents. I think all of the times about the talent that I have. Mine is not yours, and yours is not mine, but we've got talent. We could do something with that, so we'll take a look at that. The next one simply sort of lays out what I'm thinking about. Most of the time, we fall into something saying, that's what everybody else does. And so we fall into the trap of being normal. That's it. We simply say, nobody else is doing it. Nobody else questioned. Nobody else spoke up. So I'm not going to say anything either. And so we fall into that group. And that group represents a big group. And I keep saying to myself, I'm better than that. And I hope you'll start thinking about that too. You're better than just the average person that's doing whatever it is you're doing, whatever you're thinking, wherever you're going. And you shouldn't even be happy with that because there's another level up there. You could be exceptional. So when I come in and listen to the choir and people play, they're exceptional because I can't do that at all. I can't do that. If I could play the piano, I'd stay in here playing all the time. I can't do that. But they are exceptional doing that. And so some people have different kind of gifts. And at the gifts that they have, you work at that to become very good at it, exceptional at it. And so some of us have children, grandchildren, neighbors that we ought to be talking about this too. How do you do that? When I think about that title, there are some words that come to mind. Did I go back? No, I'm going backwards, am I not? These are the words that I want to talk to you about. I call them the Beatitudes, but they're my Beatitudes. These are the things that will help you focus on whether you're doing that or not. Number one, and so you can just quickly read those, but I'm going to go through each one of them one at a time and sort of give you my interpretation of what that means in my life and what it means in people that I'm talking to. I mentor a whole lot of people, but probably you all know that. I mentor a lot of people. I'm actually a career coach mentor. I'm sort of the guru in mentoring because I think everybody gets to be much better when you find somebody to mentor you. And there are younger people in the audience. When I say younger, a lot of you are quite a bit younger than I am. And if you don't have a big dog in your life, if you don't have a mentor that you can go hear yourself think with, that's what I'm talking about. So we're talking about that. We'll come back to those. All right, what are we doing here? We're supposed to be going forward. Okay, be a dreamer. Your imagination. Do you just sit down sometimes and think about what it is I could be doing? What is it I could be doing? We are born with dreams, but we crush them. Somebody tells us we're not good enough. Somebody tells us that you can't do that. Somebody says something to you that causes you to clam up. And so you don't get there. And inside of us then, we're squashing the very best that we were born to become. The very best. Think about that. I'm going to just tell you about a couple of people that I have mentored and what that means when I help them discover their dreams. There's a young lady out there named Ursula Burns. She rose up through the ranks to become chief executive officer at Xerox. She's a black female. She was born in Brooklyn, and when I met her, she was not going to do that. She never thought about leaving Flatbush. I teased her. She said, "Doc, I wasn't born on Flatbush." I said, "You might not have been, but real close to it anyway. But we're going to get you off of that street." And she sat down, and I talked to her, and I convinced her to go to Columbia, which she'd never dream of going to. And I said, "Not only do I want you to go, I want you to be the first person who graduates with a master's degree in engineering in your group that starts in September. I want you to beat everybody out." Sounds impossible. She's a black female from Brooklyn. And she took me up on it. I said, "That's all I'm going to ask you to do. It's not going to cost you nothing. Just go do it." She got a master's degree in mechanical engineering from Columbia University in 8 months and was gone. She wasn't going to go to Xerox because it was too far away from Rochester, New York, was too far away from New York City. I told her, "You got to go." She went, rose up through the ranks, and became CEO and finally chairman of the board. Her last salary that she got before she retired a couple of years ago, $10 million a year. Just helping somebody realize their dreams. And we all have them. Your children got them. Your neighbors have them. People here in this church have it. And so if you're sitting here today and you should be singing in the choir doing something, we're challenging you to do something. Do something. Be purposeful. What's your why? Why do you come here every Sunday? Why? Why? What's your why for what you're doing? Where you're living? Who you're hanging around with? Who you talk to? Who you don't talk to? Do you live in a building much like I do, and you don't know your neighbors? You don't know who lives next door to you even. We pass them in the hall, that's all. Look at that statement. At the core of life is a heart purposefulness, determination to live. Life, wherever it is found, is trying to live out its purpose, to actualize its potential. Howard Thurman, if you came and you heard me speak before, you knew I was going to call Howard Thurman's name. His words are just awesome, and I keep telling you, if you haven't read anything by Howard Thurman, don't worry about the fact that he was black. Has nothing to do with nothing. He just happened to be black. He was just awesome during his lifetime, and he left a legacy for us to look at. So do that. Be focused. Get up in the morning with something on your mind. That's my little book. My father used to say, if you wake up in the morning, don't know what you're going to do by the time you figured out day is gone. So if you got something to do, get out of bed and go do it. With a spirit, with a determination, with some energy, effort. Look at that statement. It must be borne in mind that the tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goals. The tragedy of the lies in not having no goals to reach. It is not a disaster not to capture your ideals, but it is to not have no ideals to capture. It is not a disgrace not to reach the stars, but it is a disgrace to have no stars to reach for. Not failure, but a low aim is a sin. When we think below our capacity, when we function below our skills, when we do things that we could do much better. Be courageous. Takes courage. Takes courage to just be who you are. Takes courage to come into this church, because people say we're crazy here. I mean, as soon as you tell somebody you go to this, they said, "That church?" They look at you funny, don't they? Takes a lot of courage to come in. Your neighbors find out that this is where you go. And we should be telling them why we come. Why do we come here? When I look at the back of our program and look at what the things say, that's exactly the way I want to live my life. On the back of this, just look at that. That's awesome. Just think about that. That's why we come. There are people in here who tell me that I'm not crazy, that I'm sane. That's a good thing. And so I can go out and face the world of people who don't think that of me. Be adventurous. Move out of the circles that you've been turning in all of the time. Do you ever ask some people in here to have a cup of coffee? I do that. mean, I'm not saying it, but I do. But it's amazing. I've been coming here a long time, and nobody has ever asked me to a cup of coffee. Nobody. I think I'm a pretty nice fellow to have a cup of coffee with. So I'm going to drink my coffee whether you ask me or not. So I'm not telling you. You don't have to feel bad about doing it. I'm just simply saying, if you're not inviting me, I wonder if you're inviting some other people. Do you invite Phyllis to have a cup of coffee? Have you ever thought about that? She might like to have a cup of coffee also. So think about that. So venture out sometimes. Don't stay in the same circles all of the time. Move past race. Get past that. Get past gender. Get past that I'm an old fella. I am old. I'm cantankerous. I don't think like you all, the young folk think. I know you all think I'm crazy. I think you all are crazy. And I'm not saying that negative. I'm just trying to say, but I move in those circles. I can move in the circles with young folk. Almost today, but I didn't want nobody to think I was just doing it because I was up here today. Come up sometime and sit with the kids. Come up sometime and sit with them. Just to let them know that you know they're here in the building. Something to think about. Be transforming. You don't want to be the same thing tomorrow that you are today. Whatever that means. We ought to be a little bit better tomorrow. We ought to be a little bit better. We ought to be a little bit more loving, forgiving, everything about tomorrow than we are today. Wow. Think about that. I'm going to bring one more person in the room. There's a young lady out there. She's Native American. Very good. I met her. She was not going to go to graduate school. And that's what I work on a lot. She's a Native American female. And so I convinced her that she should go. She had a full-time job. And she was worried about that. I said, you could have got a job before you ever went to college. That's not why you're holding out. Why don't you go get a PhD and get a different kind of job? And so, make a long story short, she ended up going to Stanford at my suggestion, got a PhD from Stanford. As far as we know, she was the first Native American female to get a PhD in engineering ever in the United States. Today, she's a full professor of engineering in Michigan. Full. American Indian female. And she hugs me every time she sees me and said, Doc, if I hadn't met you, wouldn't have done this. Nobody told me to do this. Nobody. Graduate school will say they couldn't find her, and she wasn't lost. I tell them the same thing. If I could find her, surely you could find her. You get paid to do that. They should have been able to find her. So how do we change our mindset about things, the news that we get every day? How do we change our mindset about that? How do we think about it as it impacts the total thing? I keep asking myself, I'm so glad I'm not a parent that I'd have to go home and try to tell my kids about what's going on in this world. That the president of the United States, that's our president. You'd have to say that he is. What do you say to your kids, your grandchildren, the neighbors? That's an awful thing to think about. Think about that. Let it sit in. What do you say? Be true to your values. We say we have them. We say we believe certain things. I heard this statement when I was 9 years old, 1949. The lady said to us that without values, you lose your way. And when you lose your way, you lose everything. You lose your personhood, your humanness, everything. We've lost our way. There's a church on every corner. On every corner, there's some kind of church. And our world is worse than it was before we had any. Something's wrong with that picture. And we ought to think about that. I'm going to love you when this is over. So I'm not talking about you. I'm just asking you to think about this. We come every Sunday. I wonder, what are we thinking about? Don't let the music die in you. Be true to your values. Be grateful. Be grateful that you found this place. We didn't know this place existed. And we found this place where you could come and just be who you are. You could sing if you wanted to. You don't have to. Some people come and don't come into the service. I'm still amazed at that. I don't know whether you all know it or not, but there are people sitting out there that never come in here. And we don't say they're crazy. This is a place where you can come and sit and wait for other folks to come out and drink some coffee with them. This is a good place to come. I feel good about that. I'm grateful that this place exists. And we keep saying that. And I keep thinking, if this place wasn't here, what would I do? I like going to church on Sunday morning. I really do. It's a part of my life. Be a coach or mentor. Pick some young people. I don't mean kids, just young folk who you can talk with, share your knowledge with. Learn from them. Learn from them. I'm going to bring one more person in, and then I'm finished. I was given a speech 1982 at the University of Oklahoma at a banquet. And I was telling the same kind of thing I'm talking about here, basically. And when I finished, I said, if you want to pick my brain when I finish, I'm going to be up here until nobody's talking to me, and then I'll go. And so two black females came up, and one of them had a child with her. And she looked at me and said, I love what you're talking about, but I couldn't do what you are talking about doing. I said, why? She said, I'm a teenage mother. She said, I'm 19, and this is my daughter. And so I looked at her and said, what's that got to do with anything? I mean, I said it just like that. I don't have no psychology in me, so I didn't know how to say it otherwise. What'd I got to do with anything? And she looked at me, and I said, if I had met you before you had the baby, I'd have told you not to do it. But that's can't do nothing about that now. Get over it. And so she started to cry. And everybody who was watching me wondering what kind of mean man is that? And so I had to take my handkerchief out of my pocket and give it to her, let her blow her nose on it. And when she got finished, I said, when you get through crying, you're going to be 19 years old, and you're going to have a four-year-old. And what I want you to promise me is you're never going to tell that story again. That's just life. Get over it. And so I told her, I said, tell you what, if you promise me you won't ever tell that again, I'll help you get out of the hole and you can go on with the rest of your life. And so I said, call me by next Friday and let me know what you're going to do. And I always preface that. Don't let me have to call you, because I can find a 19-year-old with a four-year-old child who's a black female in engineering at the University of Oklahoma. I can find you. And so she called me. Her name is Pamela McCauley. She called me on a Friday, asked her, did she want to do it? She said, yes. We sat down and put together a plan for her to get out of the hole, how to go back to school and excel. She did. Next year, she was a junior. Between junior and senior year, I got her in a summer job at Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory in Berkeley, California. I said, I want you to go out there, have a vacation, which you've never had. Take the baby with you so you all can see something different. I'm going to call the human resource and tell them to find you a babysitter and everything. And she did. She came back. She was the first black female to get a PhD in engineering in the state of Oklahoma. Today, she's a full professor at the University of Central Florida. Her name is Pamela McCauley. Pamela McCauley, these are real names. She calls me Dad. She said, you changed my life. And all I'm trying to tell you is there are a lot of people out there we could mentor, a lot of young folk who are making mistakes that we know you don't have to fall in that hole. And we ought to be talking to somebody. So I would ask you, challenge you to do that. Be at peace with yourself. I want you to get calm and think about that one. Be at peace with you. Be at peace with yourself. I call it being at peace in your own skin. And that skin could be female skin, you know. It could be male. It could be, you could be gay. You could be anything. My friend over there, I see her on Sunday morning and I go over to speak to her, sitting in the wheelchair, and tell her, I'm so glad that you're here. And I want her to know we love her dearly. And she's been active in this church. We appreciate you so very much. And that's what we're talking about. How do you do that? Yes, give her a hand. She does. She's fantastic. Yes, we love you. Simple message. Don't die with the music in you. All of us have it. You might not think you've got any music, but you've got it. And it would be a disgrace for you to take it to your grave. There are two principles that I just want to end with. The second one says justice, equity, and compassion from human relations. That says to me that we ought to be able to get along with anybody and everybody. Is it a love affair? No, it doesn't have to be. It's just humans one to another. The fourth one says, we believe in a free and responsible search for truth, whatever that means. There are not many places I could have given my truth this morning other than in the Unitarian Church. This is my truth. And we say, we help you on your search for your what? Truth, wherever that search might lead. That's a powerful thing to say. And the last one is that we believe in respect for the independent web of everything, all existence. And I think about that in human kind of terms, specifically. Whether you're tall, short, old, young, gifted, whatever you call. Thank you all for letting me speak to you this morning. I hope as we stay here together in this place, worship together, work together, serve together, I hope we find it within our hearts to not let our talents go to waste, not let the music die in us. Thank you all so very much.
I just want to thank you all for letting us play for you today. Thank you, James. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Unitarian Church. And thank you, Howard, for that beautiful message. And thank you, Andrew. This is a song about making the world a better place through our deeds, our good deeds. And the song is called With These Two Hands.